Welcome back to Braxton Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cammy Berthium, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. You know, one of the many life challenges that faces young adults is getting a handle on finances. Good budgeting and financial management are generally things that come with experience and need to be learned over time. But a few tips at the outset couldn't hurt. Susan Weineke is a licensed financial advisor and has served as part of a mentor couple for marriage preparation, which included discussing finances. Susan joins us now with some helpful financial planning hints. Welcome, Susan.
Hi, Patrick. So nice to hear you.
Yeah, nice to hear you too. Thank you. So let me start out with just kind of a focus in on today's young adults and today's, obviously you can be any age to be newlyweds, but many of them are newlyweds at this time. Are there trends or attitudes about money that you have seen that are unique to this generation, to millennials? Do they view money differently than their parents do?
That's a great question, Patrick. And I would say that kind of the viewpoint is that I think that most couples are starting off with some debt, which is maybe different than what their parents were starting off with. College debt has become really a big plague. And so it's really a lot of young couples are starting off with debt. That's going to change kind of their attitude towards budgeting. They also are starting off with, very often, two-income households. And so they very often think, well, I can just, you know, buy everything that I would like to purchase without thinking too much about a budget.
Well, yeah, thinking about a budget and putting a budget together is one of those things that, quite frankly, I mean, I've started out trying to do a lot of times on my own and struggled with myself. But that's something that is, I suppose I should just ask you to speak to the importance of it. Why is it important to have a budget?
Another great question. You know, in fact, financial troubles and lack of communication are really the top reasons couples cite for divorce, according to marriage.com. So to really insulate your marriage, it's very important to learn how to talk about finances. It's not natural at all. It needs to be practiced. In fact, get all the money issues on the table. Discuss your spending habits, your financial goals. Discuss your income and potential for growth, as well as your debt. And don't hide anything. You know, there doesn't need to be an agreement on all of the goals. You will have separate goals, but it's important your spouse knows them. So, for an example, in my own life, my husband and I have agreed that we are going to travel to visit relatives and also travel to all of our kids' games. And in fact, when our son made a Canadian football team, we thought, well, we'd still like to travel to all the games, but we can't afford airfare, so we're going to drive. So we bought a minivan. So that was an agreed upon goal so that we could go ahead and achieve that goal. But not everything is going to be agreed upon. Like, my husband would like a shed, and so he needs to save separately for the shed because that's not my goal necessarily. So it's okay to have different goals. You will have shared ones, but it's important to basically work through a budget where you identify, you know, the bucket that's yours and mine and then ours. And then really take action to open checking accounts to reflect your budget.
Yeah, yeah. What are some of the mentalities and the perspectives that young adults can carry into, especially if they're looking at getting married, if they're prepping for marriage and that sort of thing? What are some of the attitudes that tend to be problematic, but maybe they're very common as well?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, really, it's a matter of how everybody has had different experiences.
Sure.
So your experience growing up with your own family units, as well as just your experiences with, you know, how prevalent money was, maybe the lack of money. So everybody's going to have a different idea going into adulting as far as how to budget and how money either grows on trees or doesn't grow on trees. So no one's going to be completely coming into a relationship exact same way. And so it's it's really important to just talk about that. And that's, again, you know, really, I would say we need to talk every month about, you know, where our budget is once it's agreed upon, so that if there's a problem, you can fix it quickly. But also things that enter in is, you know, one of the, if there's a two-income household, you know, one person will probably make more money than the other. So then that will be one attitude that we have to figure out how to work through so that, you know, resentment doesn't build up. And maybe if there's a one-income household and one person's staying at home to raise children, that, you know, that person may feel like they don't deserve any money because, you know, they're not making any money. But that's not the case. So it's really a matter of putting everything out on the table, and everybody's just going to have different attitudes going in and understanding that it's different and that you don't need to necessarily agree. It's just a matter of you need to be airing all of this. And a very easy way to help that conversation is to kind of have an accountability partner, a third party that can kind of help you with the conversation, because it's going to be a difficult conversation.
Yeah, and I can imagine that there are many difficult conversations in and around money, and it tends to be a rather volatile topic when it comes to that. And as you already said, can contribute to marriages, quite frankly, falling apart, which is striking. It should give us pause, I think, when we stop to consider that. Another thing that can do that around finances is debt. And I want to return to what you were saying before about a lot of today's young adults, especially if they've put themselves through college or they have a significant amount of debt coming out of that. And I guess on a very practical level, Susan, when young adults are emerging from college with a substantial amount of debt, what is your general advice? And specifically, I think I want to ask the question, is it something that lets, you know, put everything towards getting out of debt first? Or is there some wisdom in keeping some aside as savings? What would you say to that?
So I think that there's different schools of thought on that. But my learned experience is that life is constantly changing and that you should be paying yourself as far as savings and getting out of debt. There needs to be a plan. But one of the things that I wish I would have known when I was younger is that there are a lot of financial products out there that help you save for certain things. They help you also pay off debt. And there's no way that an untrained person is going to know how to utilize all of those correctly. So it's very important, I think, especially for somebody who has a lot of debt, to go to a financial professional just so that they can understand all the different options that they have, because it can be overwhelming and you can make mistakes. And, it's just, there's help out there, and it's not costly.
Yeah, and I think that there's obviously to learn from the experience and the knowledge of others is always a good thing. I'm thinking that, just to play the devil's advocate here a little bit for young adults who might be hearing those words, I'm thinking that some of their response, at least right off the bat, may be, yeah, but that's more money. I'm spending more money to go to somebody else to tell me what to do with my money. So I'm basically, you know, I'm caught in this cycle. What would you say in response to that?
So there are different kinds of financial advisors. So there are some that are fee only. There are also financial advisors who do work in the community that is based on, you know, they will give you some good advice. And if you want to take some of their advice by purchasing different products or investing for them, there will be a fee that is based on the product that they purchase, or if they're investing based on, you know, what you're doing to help them invest more wisely. So you have to kind of basically check around to see what fits you best, but it doesn't have to be an outlay of cash. And one of the wonderful things that's in our diocese is that we have a Catholic network called the St. Joseph Business Guild. And you can just go to their website, click on the business directory to access referrals for many different types of services. So if you need an accountant, or you need a financial advisor, you need a plumber, you need a realtor, you can go to a trusted network in our Catholic diocese called the St. Joseph Business Guild.
It's a great resource indeed, and one that's well worth utilizing. Well, okay, so that's good. I appreciate that, Susan. But let's also talk a little bit about giving. And I can imagine that when young people are just starting to get perhaps a paycheck that's larger than what they've been used to making as they were at work on college campuses, or as they're just starting out, maybe with a bit more money in their pocket, or at least a bit more money that's flowing through them. But equally, also, they've got these financial responsibilities, be it college loans to pay off, or heading into a new life with a spouse. There's still this thing about tithing and giving in the church. How should newlyweds or young people discern what works for them in terms of financial giving within the church, especially?
Yes, and that's actually the most important budget item is the tithing. So this is really part of the R's checking account that we were talking about earlier, which pays all the expenses. And your number one budget item should be tithing. And while the church doesn't prescribe a set amount, we are to be good stewards, sharing our money, time, and talent. And really the right mindset is found in 2 Corinthians 8, where Paul writes, "In the midst of severe trial, their overflowing joy and deep poverty have produced an abundant generosity, according to their means. Indeed, I can testify even beyond their means and voluntarily, they begged us insistently for the favor of sharing in the service to members of the church." So this is really the right mindset, is that it's a voluntary, cheerful gift that you want to give. And so that's something that you need to prayerfully consider and really think of your gifts as a witness to the power of trusting God with your money. Mm. It can teach us detachment from worldly things and taking care of each other. So being the number one budget item is because it really is going to help you flow the rest of your budget, really, as far as how much you're going to pay on all these other things. And it will change your mindset. And so from there, after tithing, is really the rent or mortgage, utilities, groceries, debt payment is certainly in that. Date nights, extremely important to keep you together. And so those are the budget items that these are the expenses that we're going to have every month. And then let's kind of go into our savings account, which is, a bucketed strategy as well that designed against, you need an emergency fund first. 6 months of expenses should really be set aside. And then once that is saved, then you can agree on other goals such as trips and cars and maybe a down payment on a house, furniture, maybe save for kids' college and retirement. Mm. So really, it's a matter of you have to come up with a checking account budget that pays all of the expenses and then also have different savings accounts for these things that are the goals that are in the future. And one of the things that I would like to mention to all the young people, just to learn from experience, is that while you have an idea about what those things are for the future that you want to save for, life changes. And, I have an example of when we started off and we owned a home and we had a couple kids. We had a two-income household, loved my job, and felt that God was asking me to stay at home with the kids. And I just thought there's no way, that doesn't financially make any sense, but it was really his plan. And my husband said, you know what, if he's telling you to do that, that's what you need to do. So interestingly, so I was pregnant with my third child when this was happening. I did stay home for 9 years. And when I felt it was time for me to return to my career, I received a job offer from the company that I left on my son's birthday, the one that I had left when I was pregnant with. So that just kind of tells me that, yes, I obeyed him, and you rewarded me this way.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, life changes. And so you may think, you know, I had a plan that we were going to pay off our mortgage early and that's how we're going to pay for college. Well, that was not a good plan because it wasn't a bucketed strategy. It was just like having one big savings account. I should have had multiple savings accounts. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'd like to draw out is that you need to have different buckets of savings. And maybe you stop saving for something, but you still have something on track.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to cut you off there, Susan, but we're needing to go to our final break. But I'm so grateful that you have, I mean, it's great wisdom that you've shared, and I'm grateful that there's been, for the experience that the Lord has given you, and thank you for passing that on to younger people. God bless you, Susan. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Patrick. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you. You too. We're off into our final break. When we come back, Paul and I will share some hints and tips of our own, all aimed at helping you continue to practice your Catholic faith. We'll be right back.